Good morning, all. How are you today? You're in very good voice, actually. The singing in here was so loud this morning. It was amazing. I felt like I was in a stadium. It was really resonant. So maybe we'll put those voices to good use a little bit later. This series has been one of my favourites. I probably say that every time, though. I have loved it. I've loved thinking about what makes us distinctive as kingdom people. And this morning, as I've been preparing during the week, and the week's just building up for today, what I really wanted to do was revisit some of our distinctives as a church family. Now, if you're sitting here and you're not from this church family, I don't want you to zone out, because actually there's nothing in here that doesn't apply to every kingdom person. So those things are not things that aren't required for living a life of faith. But there are certain things that God has embedded into us and into our DNA. And, you know, I'm coming up to a real milestone birthday soon, which I'm trying to ignore as much as I can. But one of the things that happens every year on my birthday is my mum insists on telling the story about how I was born. I mean, nobody ever really wants to know, do they? She doesn't go into too much graphic detail, but she does always tell me that I arrived at 4 o'clock just in time for a cup of tea. How very British. And, you know, but the thing is that in doing that over the many years I have been on the planet, what it's done is reinforced in me a strong sense of identity and thinking back to how I arrived on the planet. And similarly for us, you know, we can think, well, we understand why we're called Skylark Church, and we know the Skylark story, and we've been on the website, and we've watched the video, or maybe we've been to DNA, and we've heard our leaders talking about it. But the truth is that it's important to revisit some of the things that actually define us as a family, and some of those moments where God spoke profoundly into us. And some of those things, actually, they precede our time as leaders, and others of those things are real new and fresh things that God's been doing in recent years. So I'm going to look at some specific traits or characteristics of a Skylark so that we can be reminded of who we are called to be in the body of Christ. So the Skylark story began several years ago now, up a very large hill / mountain in Scotland. And Pete and I, we were away and we were in a time of transition. And it had been a really painful time. If you've ever been through a time of transition, you'll know it's a very uncomfortable place to be. And we went to Scotland with one question on our hearts for God. And that is, what do you want us to do next? That was our question. And in his own inimitable style, God did not answer that question directly. He answered a different question, which is probably the more fundamental question that all of us need answered. And that was, who have I designed you to be? Who have I designed you to be? So about day 3 in Scotland, we decide to climb this large hill. And because we're a little bit bonkers and we love worship, we decided that we would sing all the way up. We would sing songs of praise and worship to God as we were climbing. And then when we got to the top, what we would do is spend some time listening and asking the question that was on our hearts, which was, what do you want us to do next? Here we are, God. What do you want us to do? So we did honestly sing all the way up. We were very out of breath by the top. Well, I can only speak for myself. I was very out of breath by the time we got to the top. And we did pass some people on the way who gave us some rather strange glances. But when we got to the top, we were on our own. And it was the most amazing sunny day. It was March in Scotland, and it was blue sky. There wasn't one cloud in the sky. That is a rare occurrence, so I'm told. And we had this panoramic vista all the way down to the sea. It was just wonderful, so inspiring. So we decided to lie down because we were a bit tired, and we thought, right, we're just going to flop down here and say, right, God, we're listening. And so that's what we did. And as we were listening, all we could hear was this bird song. And it was so loud and captivating. So our attention was immediately drawn. And Pete was a little bit irritated because he felt it was distracting from what he was there to do. And then, of course, the penny dropped for both of us that God was trying to get our attention through this bird song. So we began to watch. And to start with, there were only two birds. And what they would do is they would flap their wings really hard as they were ascending, and they would just spend such a long time going up and up and up, and they were working really hard to get up. And then eventually they would just look like a little dot against the sky because they were so high up. But all the time, their song was loud and resonant. And then they would unfurl their wings and they would soar and just circle. And it was beautiful and serene. And finally, they would tuck their little wings in and they would bomb back down to the ground like they were on some kind of crazy faith adventure. But the whole time, whether they were working hard, whether they were soaring, or whether they were having the time of their lives bombing back down to the ground, they were singing continuously, and their song was so loud and captivating. So our attention was drawn, and then the moment happened. God said, "This is who I've made you to be in the kingdom. And I want you to raise up a generation who will do the same. A generation who will find a song in every season, whether they're working hard in the kingdom, whether they're soaring on my thermals high in the heavenlies, or whether they are on some kind of crazy faith adventure. The whole time there is an anthem, a kingdom anthem that I'm calling them to find." So I want to look at five different traits of the skylark. These birds obviously were skylarks, and we took some pictures. By the time we left that hillside, and I think this is really profound, there were a whole host of them. In fact, Bill Dunton told me that the collective noun for skylarks is, guess what? An exaltation of skylarks. How cool is that? If that doesn't make you want to worship, I don't know what would. But there were a whole host of them. So there were no longer two, there were loads. And we took some pictures and we looked up in a bird book. And I'm going to bore you with lots and lots of amazing skylark facts today, which I find super exciting. So the first trait of a skylark is this, that we are faith-filled. We're faith-filled. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed or confirmation of things hoped for and divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. In the Amplified, it says this, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I'm going to read that again. Faith comprehends, understands as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So one of the first attributes of the skylark is this faith-filled quality. And how do I know that? Well, if you do your research with the RSPB and online, you'll find out that the skylark is one of the first birds to sing before sunrise. It's a leader of the dawn chorus. It's probably not the only bird. There are two or three that are early rises. But the skylark gets up and it sings before the sunrise. It awakens the dawn. There's a pioneering quality to this bird. It's the first to sing, but then others join suit. They lift their voices and they join until there's a cacophony of voices and no one can really distinguish the skylark's voice in there. This is part of our DNA, church, that we are a faith-filled people and that we comprehend as fact that which cannot be seen by the physical senses. Can you imagine looking at the night sky and calling forth the dawn? Because at that point that you're looking, it's pitch black. You know, they say it's always darkest before dawn, don't they? And in that moment, the skylark chooses to lift its voice and to announce the new day that God is bringing forward, the new thing that he's doing. And as the skylark begins to sing, sure enough, morning after morning after morning, the sun's first rays begin to pierce that black backdrop. And sure enough, day rises. I wonder where in our society, where in our culture, where in our workplace, where in our family life, we look at certain situations and they look entirely black. They look impossible. They look as though nothing could ever change. I know that there are several things on my heart at the moment, just thinking about Aria growing old enough to get into the school system and thinking about some of the pressures that our children and young people are under. And I look at that, and to me, it looks like this immense black backdrop. But you know what? As skylarks and as kingdom people, our call is not to accept what we see before us with our natural eyes as the status quo. There's a fearless prophetic voice that the skylark carries, bringing hope, declaring light against the black backdrop of our nation and our world. One of the things that is a little guilty pleasure for me is a program called Extreme Home Makeover. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's an American show, and I just love it because it makes me cry like a baby. It's a feel-good show, and if you've never seen it, this is what happens, okay? They find a family, and usually they're a family that have been, you know, ravaged by some kind of terrible adversity. So it may be bereavement, it may be they've had a fire in their home or some kind of major, major thing, which has basically meant that they either are homeless or they're living, you know, maybe with seven of them in really, really inappropriate conditions. And what happens is the team come in, headed up by Ty Pennington, and they come in, and they basically, they chat to the family, they find out their story, and then they send them off to Disney World or to somewhere really amazing for a bit of a holiday, and they build them a new home. And it's not just any home, okay? It's not just, you know, a bog standard, this'll do kind of home. They build them this kind of incredible, no attention to detail spared, you know, they take grandma's clothes and quilt duvet covers out of it. It's, you know, it's got meaning, it's got significance. It is amazing. They tailor make the rooms on a theme basis for all of the children. So if they're into outer space, they're going to have this intergalactic room with loads of interactive facilities. Are you getting me? Right? It's the most amazing home you've ever seen. And because it's America, they've got space, haven't they? So it's not small either. I mean, the homes are absolutely enormous. And what you get is they nominate a team of builders from the local community. So a company come in and they give their services for free. But they then also, they get a great big team from all of the local area, volunteers, and they arrive on site, right? Just imagine that I have got just a whole army of people behind me, and this builder comes on and he's so pumped and he's excited and he does a motivational talk and he's like, guys, we're going to build the best home ever for this family this week. Excuse my American accent, not my forte. Penny, please don't cringe again, I've done this twice to you. And everyone's cheering and they're excited and the team get to work and they build this incredible home. And the family are away in Disney World and they just check in via their screen like this. And Ty's going, oh, you know, I'm just going to give you a sneak peek of one thing. And they're getting really excited. And then there's this moment, right, that comes. Can you see that bus? That is the Extreme Home Makeover bus. And what happens is that when the house is finished, everyone who's been involved in helping and everyone from anywhere in the local vicinity, they come and they queue up outside the house and then they park the bus in front. So if you can imagine, if you're on ground level, you can't see the house behind the bus. The bus is right in front of your face and the beautiful house is beyond. And then they bring the family home and the family pull up in a limo and they get out and they're emotional because now they can see all their friends and family and people from their community who have helped build the house. So they're looking at all the faces in the crowd and they're high-fiving and the children are hyped and it's, you know, everyone's cheering. And then this moment comes where they all begin to shout, move that bus, move that bus, move that bus. And they're shouting, and if you're like me and you're at home, you're shouting with the TV screen because you're so excited for the bus to move, even though you've seen them build the house, right? So I know what's coming. It's crazy. And then the bus moves, and this family just crumple to the floor as they see their incredible new home that their community have built for them. I love this because, to me, this is a picture of what it looks like to be a faith-filled person. You see, most of us, if we're honest, spend our life looking at the bus. There are things in our lives that are just in front of our face. And we don't always recognize that what God is doing on a kingdom level is he's building and weaving something of such unimaginable beauty through our situations and through our circumstances. But all we can see is this great, huge, immovable looking bus in front of us. As skylarks, our call is this, Firstly, to have the faith to look beyond the bus so that we don't see the bus. We actually trust and believe in what God is doing beyond the bus. We're looking at the beauty of his kingdom. We're looking at the promises of his word. We're looking at his majesty and his power and his authority and what he's able to do. But secondly, and perhaps even more importantly, we're called to be those who actually get stuck in to calling out somebody else's breakthrough. So it's not just about us wanting to move the bus for our own lives, but actually on a local level, on a national level, and on an international level, we are called to be those who declare that bus is going to move, that mountain is going to move, those things that obstruct the kingdom of God from breaking in, they have got to go. And that is what the Skylark is doing. As it looks at the black night sky, it is effectively saying, move that bus to anything that opposes the dawn rising over our nation and over our world day by day. Isn't that amazing? So church, it's time to find our voice. Emily Sande, this song sticks with me, and I've read it to you before, but I'm unashamedly reading it to you again because I think that this is such a prophetic song for the church. I know it wasn't written with that intent, but this is what she says. You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You've spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how are we going to learn your song? So come on, come on, come on, come on. You've got a heart as loud as lions, so why let your voice be tamed? Maybe we're a little different. There's no need to be ashamed. You've got the light to fight the shadows, so stop hiding it away. So come on, come on. Come on, come on. When we talk about finding our song and finding our voice as Skylarks, it doesn't mean that you have to be a musical person. That's not it. I happen to be. But I know that many of you aren't. You have other gifts and talents. It's a metaphorical song. It's actually about finding the anthem of heaven. Do you know it says in Zephaniah that God rejoices over us with singing? I wonder what anthem he wants to sing over people in your workplace. I wonder what anthem he wants to sing over those who are trafficked unfairly. The slavery situation in our nation. I wonder what he wants to sing over those who are living in poverty. What does he want to sing over those who are sick and long-term sick and not seeing breakthrough? That's what it means to be a Skylark. And there's a song of hope, joy, deliverance, freedom, truth, love, justice, mercy, compassion, kindness, goodness, grace, and forgiveness for us to find. The second trait is that Skylarks are 24/7 worshippers. They find that song in every season. And I love this verse from Habakkuk. It's one of my life scriptures. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Isn't that an amazing verse? Just one little word changing everything, yet. And you know, we're not immune from life's problems as Christians and as people of faith. We walk through hardships, we walk through adversity, we walk through pain and sorrow like everybody else. But part of being a worshiper and finding a song in every season is learning that even when we don't see any of the things that we'd like to see before our natural eyes, that there is still a song of praise and hope that we can find against that backdrop. Romans 12 puts it like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. What does that mean? Well, yes, it's a song in every season, but it's more than a song. It's more than words on a Sunday, as we sung earlier. It's about all of our lives glorifying God. It's about an act of worship that is just as important in how I use my words when I'm speaking to somebody else. That's just as important when I have an opportunity to show integrity or to take a shortcut. It's just as important with the way that I treat and relate to other people. That's challenging, isn't it? But that's what it looks like to be a 24/7 worshiper. It's so much more than a song. And yet the Skylark is known for its song. It's one of the things that distinguishes it above anything else. And we'll get to that a little bit later. They sing in flight continually, and they have that distinctive and resonant song. They call out and look beyond what they see in the natural. Did you know that bird songs are among the most complex sounds produced by animals, and the skylark song is one of the most complex of all? I bet you didn't know that. Their songs are composed of syllables, consecutive sounds produced in a complex way, get this, with almost no repetition. Wow! What does that tell you? That the skylark is a creative bird. Just like our God is an innovator, so we are called to be innovators. That there's something that comes from our mouth that actually is a creative thing. The male skylark can sing more than 300 different syllables, and each individual bird's song is slightly different. Interestingly, anecdotal evidence tells us that skylarks don't sing well in captivity. Wow, that's profound too. So we're called to be unique. There's something that distinguishes us in terms of our kingdom song. We're not called to be a church that emulates or replicates what other people are doing. And honestly, I'm so tired of just hearing, like, you know, when are we going to do things like Bethel Church do? Or when are we going to do things like Soul Survivor do? We're not called to do that. That's not to say that there aren't great things that we can glean from other people in the body of Christ. There are. But God's doing a new thing here. And we're called to be those pioneers and those innovators. So we're not hankering after doing anything the way that somebody else is. We're seeking him from an entirely new blueprint. That's great, but it's also uncomfortable because it means that we can't look at a model and think, oh, that's what it's going to look like. No, we're on an adventure. We're tucking our little wings in and we're bombing down to the ground and it's going to be amazing. God rarely does the same thing twice in the same way. And I do believe that we're on the cusp of a major move of God in our nation. I really believe that with all my heart. But I want to tell you this. It's not going to look how it looked before. It's not going to look like the Welsh revival, although that was amazing. It's not going to look like what God is doing in Redding, California, although that is amazing too. It's going to look like what God wants to do in Chelmsford, Essex, and in Great Britain, and then rippling out across the world. And our church network, Skylark International, it's not going to look like any other church network. It's going to be different. Our sound is unique. Amazingly, years ago when we first came to the church, Pete and I, when we took on the worship team, we sought God about a name, and the name that came to mind was Extol, which means to praise. And did you know that this little bird is called Alauda arvensis? That's its proper name in Latin. And Alauda has a verb within it, which is the verb laudo. It's a Latin verb, which means, guess what? To praise or to extol. And that tells me that long before we ever knew we were going to lead this church, long before we knew that we were going to have an encounter at the top of a hill with a skylark, long before we stepped into church leadership or knew that we would take on the network, God spoke to us about our distinctive and about our DNA, and I think that's incredible. The next trait about a skylark is that it's small yet significant. Look at this little bird. I mean, in all honesty, there's not much to commend it outwardly, is there? When you actually see them, they're not big birds. They do have a little tufty crest, a little bit like Pete. Sorry, babe. That was very harsh. They are completely inconspicuous on the ground. They entirely blend into their surroundings. But when they take flight and they begin to open their mouths, you know that there's a skylark in the joint. You absolutely know. Matthew 13:31 says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, Yet, when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree. I love this. I love this because we don't want to be a church full of two or three superstars and everyone else just sits and watches. That is not how we are called to be in this church. And honestly, again, I'm just tired of that model. I'm tired of us elevating leaders to this place where they're untouchable. And then when they fall, you know, everybody's rattled and shaken. That's not how the kingdom is meant to look. Everybody is meant to be active and engaged. And everybody will make mistakes, okay? We've talked about this before. It's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. It's how we recover from those mistakes that's important. We're called to be completely ordinary. We're called to blend into our surroundings, but we're also called to pack a significant punch in the kingdom. So we're not building that culture where we're elevating a few people on a platform. What we're passionate about doing is ensuring that every ordinary, vulnerable, authentic follower of Christ has a voice. That every vulnerable, authentic follower of Christ is empowered and equipped to live out their faith wherever they are. So that if ever a day came where we were not able to meet like this, if we came under persecution in our nation, which is not beyond the realms of possibility down the line, maybe for our children or our children's children, that could be a reality. What we want to have built into their hearts is an understanding that they can blend into their surroundings, but that they carry in their hearts something that is so powerful, that is so life-changing, that is so transformative, that they will be ordinary and extraordinary all at the same time. That is what is needed for the future of the church, my friends. It's not about gathering. It's about gathering in order to disperse into our four corners of the world. That's what we're excited about. Do you remember there was someone who said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" when they looked at Jesus? And that tells me something, because Jesus was the most incredible example that if you wanted to put someone on a pedestal, he's the only person you could ever put there, because he was perfect and flawless and inspirational and amazing and transformative, and he did miracles and signs and wonders, and he was God incarnate. And yet, there wasn't much to commend Jesus outwardly either. There's other verses to back that up. He seemed ordinary to people. There was something familiar, and often those closest to him underestimated who he was and what he carried. But he exceeded every expectation because of his true identity. And so it is for us as Skylarks. We may not look like much on the outside, but when we take flight, when we soar and do what we were designed to do, whatever that is for each one of us, it is breathtaking. Skylarks are called to connect heaven and earth, and you'll see that our mission statement for this church is connecting heaven and earth. And poets have written, there are so many beautiful poems about Skylarks, and they've been likened to this connection point between heaven and earth because they have a capacity to soar so high in the heavens, but they also nest on the ground, and we'll talk about that in a minute and why that's important. Matthew 6:10 is a great verse to kind of encapsulate this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on as it is in. Right, that's what we're called to do. That's our mandate as believers, to actually allow the kingdom of God to break in so that that which we see in heaven becomes a reality here on earth. So first of all, these birds soar. Skylarks can ascend to 1,000 feet or so. So when I was telling you about watching these birds go up and up and up, it's hard to imagine, but they don't just go up a little way. They go so high. They soar in heavenly places. And as Claire really articulately said during hosting today, during our worship, actually there's a different perspective, a different vantage point that God wants us to have. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And so there's something about being able to soar in the heavenly realms, to access the kingdom of heaven, to hear God's voice, to understand his heartbeat that is so important. But we can't stay there, because the thing is, if we stay soaring in the heavens, then we become this church that is of no good to anyone around us. And as Pete so brilliantly preached last week, we are called to gather faith and deeds and to go and make a difference wherever we are. So we can't stay in the heavens. Yes, we access the heavens, but then skylarks nest in the ground. Most birds nest in trees, so nesting on the ground, it's a really interesting thing about skylarks. It leaves them totally vulnerable. And actually, you'll hear my final point about skylarks in a moment, but nesting on the ground has caused skylarks to really become under threat because of intensive farming and because of the way that they leave themselves so vulnerable to attack. But it also means that there's nothing lofty or superior. And I think for us as church, that's so important, isn't it? Because truthfully, often when we hear the church commentating into society, it really sounds like we're just wagging a finger and we're telling people about all the things we disapprove of, and we're passing judgment. And that's not what we're called to be. That's not what kingdom looks like. We're called to be alongside people. We're called to love people with all their flaws and their failures. And so nesting on the ground is that thing that says, I'm with you. I soar in heavenly places. I capture the heart of God, but then I'm earthing it into my everyday reality. I'm getting alongside people. I'm not afraid to brush up against people who don't look like me or think like me. We're having deep conversations at the moment as a leadership team about the kind of people that we're going to be welcoming into church as our society changes. And listen, guys, it's going to be challenging for us with some of our baseline views, but we have got to embrace people. There's a whole demographic that we are not touching as church, and that actually the church by and large in this nation is not engaging with. Why? Because we're sitting in our treetop saying, oh, it wasn't like that in my day. We can't do it. We've got to love people first and allow God to do what only He can do. And we want to be a church that is welcoming and embraces people and loves people. And that means that it might not be safe to leave your handbag on your chair. Great news, isn't it? I want to be in a church like that. I want to be in a church where I've got all sorts of dilemmas and it's messy, and I did not know that it was going to be so messy. But actually, that's a sign that we're truly engaging with this generation. And Jesus had so many accusations leveled at him, didn't he, about the people he chose to spend time with. What do you want to be criticized for? How loud your music is? Or the fact that you're hanging out with some incredible people that don't look anything like you, and that actually you're trying to understand because you're on slightly different pages. I hope that we will be a church that nests on the ground and that deposits the kingdom of heaven into places that we could not even begin to imagine ourselves. We're called to connect heaven and earth. And finally, skylarks are in decline. They're under threat. There was a headline, and this was back in 1999, and the situation has worsened since then. But it's from the BBC News, and it said this: UK dawn chorus, hard to hear. Wow, that blew me away when I heard that. At the time, of mainly farmland birds, it noted the following losses. There were 4,600,000 fewer skylarks. Three quarters of them had gone. 4,100,000 fewer blackbirds, a third down. 250,000 fewer lapwings and 84,000 fewer corn buntings. But out of all of those birds, the skylark was the bird that was most in decline. Three quarters had gone at that point. It's worsened since then, and they've now been redlisted by the RSPB, and farmers are actually being encouraged to leave unsown skylark plots in their fields to encourage them to have a second chance at breeding later on in the year and to repopulate. Isn't that interesting? What does that tell us? The distinctive we have is needed. And the distinctive that we have is constantly under attack and must not be lost. It's time for us to seize a hold of that which we've been given, our kingdom mandate, and instill it into others. I love the fact that we've just recently sent teams to Spring Harvest, to Romania. I love the fact that every week you guys go out and you have a ready-made mission field, whether that's in your local village, town, community, whether that's in your day-to-day work and workplace, or whether that's with your family and as you're at mum and toddler group or parent and toddler group, whatever it is that you're sent to do during the week, you are called to seize a hold of that place and to release that dawn chorus, to look at that black backdrop and to sing something different over it. We're going to be a breeding house for Skylarks in this place. We're going to pass on what we know. We're going to impart, teach, raise up, and release a whole generation of 24/7 worshippers, people who are passionate about Jesus, people who have his word hidden in their heart, people for whom signs and wonders are an everyday thing, but people who are not immune to adversity or to the real hardship of life, who actually can identify and get alongside and love, not from a lofty position, but from a down with the people place. We are called to transform planet Earth, bringing the kingdom wherever we are and whatever we do. You see, Skylark's a mobile church, and that is amazing. We love gathering together. We love this moment where we come, but this is literally garage time for us. Moses Mukisa, an incredible church leader in Uganda, he says that Sunday morning is garage time and Monday morning is where church begins. And it sticks with me every time. He posts it on his Facebook so often. So today, this is your garage time. This isn't it. This isn't your God fill. Actually, your God fill starts tomorrow when you're on the mission field. We're sending you out from this place. We're releasing you to go and sing that beautiful, resonant kingdom song, to be down with the people, to move that bus for others in faith. And we're excited that we've sent churches out. Hub Church is thriving in Woodford because we were able to release those guys to fly the nest. Si and Vicky are about to embark on the most incredible and exciting adventure to New Zealand. They're mobile and they're going to take that song to another nation and another continent. Isn't that exciting? So, you know, we still get to sit here in Chelmsford, many of us, but we also know that we have brothers and sisters on the other side of the world who are doing the same thing, just in a totally different context and in a different way. Their song won't sound like ours, but they have our DNA, kingdom DNA, and they have Skylark Church's DNA, and they are going to release something incredible over that nation. And there will be so many more things to come. So in finishing, what I'd love to do is just to invite you to stand today, and I'd like to commission us for the weeks, months, and years ahead, that we would embrace our identity as kingdom people. God, I thank you this morning for who you are. And I thank you that you have reminded us who we are in the Spirit. I thank you, God, that just by a crazy encounter at the top of a hillside in Scotland, you have revealed so much to us about what your kingdom looks like. And I love that that's how you work, and that the name of this church is not accidental. And yes, it may not sound religious, but God, it is. It encapsulates the essence of who you're calling us to be and our unique flavor and color in the kingdom. And so today, God, I just release this church to soar in heavenly places. I release them to nest fully on the ground and to make relationships and to bring kingdom transformation wherever they're called to be. I pray that not one would feel that their voice does not matter, but Lord, that they would know that you have given them a voice for such a time as this, that they have the words to change a nation. And Lord, may we not be a church that bites its tongue in those moments where you give us opportunities. I commission each one, and I thank you, God, that you're going to send us forth. And I just can't wait to hear the testimonies of what you do even this week. I declare over you, Skylight Church, that there will be breakthrough in situations this week. That for some of you, you're going to see buses move over things that you've been praying into for a really long time. And I also declare over you, Skylight Church, that you're going to have unprecedented opportunities this week. That actually you're going to have opportunities to talk to people about Jesus and to introduce through acts of kindness, through acts of grace and forgiveness. I pray that you wouldn't miss those opportunities when they're presented to you, and that I would not either. Jesus, would you pour out your Holy Spirit? Amen.